Hi, and welcome to your audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on how to be more accurate reading people. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. I think many of us like to feel we can read people pretty well. Often it only takes a few moments, even a couple of seconds, to come to a fast, some might say snap, judgment about someone, like they're intelligent, or they're agreeable and someone I'd like to know, or they're cold and unfriendly, or needy and neurotic. Many of our snap decisions about people are based on emotion, and emotion can skew our perceptions. But why does it even matter how we read people when we first meet them? Well, in some instances it will really matter, and in some instances it will only matter to a lesser extent. So when might it really matter? Well, as an extreme example, a psychology professor asked female students to describe the kind of man they might be attracted to in a bar. The general consensus seemed to be a man who was tall, slim, charming, charismatic, funny, and a great conversationalist, and had a firm jawline, a flat stomach, and a twinkle in his eye. The professor showed the students a picture of a man most of them had never seen before, who seemed to meet most of these criteria. Many of the students felt this was the kind of guy they'd like to get to know. The man was Ted Bundy, necrophiliac serial killer of at least 36 women. It wasn't just the students who were fooled by their first impression. By all accounts, Bundy was instantly charming and attractive and widely liked not only by women but by men as well. Now that's a really dramatic instance, but it does show us how getting it wrong, assuming that what we see is what we get, can sometimes have terrible consequences. On a more everyday level, countless women and men have told me how they were swept off their feet by someone who appeared perfectly wonderful when they met with them socially, but later turned out to be not so nice in many different ways. And how many people have we brushed off, taken an instant dislike to, written off as unlikable or not too bright or just plain uninteresting? Now, we all make snap decisions about all kinds of things in our lives, including people. We attribute qualities to people, good or bad, based on insufficient or skewed evidence. I've certainly made assumptions about people, based on my own unconscious biases and assumptions that were later proved wrong. And when you think about it, it's not surprising that we all tend to do this. From an evolutionary survival point of view, making up our mind fast about someone who might be an enemy or a friend, who might kill us or help us survive, was kind of crucial. In fact, making intuitive decisions about people is still vital in certain contexts, where being wrong about someone can have profound consequences. But short of a life or death situation, unless we can learn to hold off mentally dismissing a person, or on the flip side, assuming that they're unequivocally better than most other people, then I think if we're not careful, we can become really narrow-minded as we age. You know, a kind of, I don't like those type of people person, or I've only got time for this type of person. The trouble is, we can assume stuff about people that isn't right, and that's a problem for the whole world. Psychologists call making assumptions based on insufficient evidence fundamental attribution error, and it happens all the time. Attribution is the psychological process of working out what the cause of something is. My friend and colleague Mark Tyrrell told me that when he was very young, I certainly hope it was when he was very young, his parents had a really big old stereo system and he believed there was a man inside it who spoke. He attributed a cause to an observable effect, but he couldn't have been more wrong. Now that might seem funny now, but we still do this all the time as adults. He said that because he doesn't like me, or she won't go on a date with me because I'm ugly, or, and this one may be contentious, she's sexually promiscuous because of the way she dresses. Fundamental attribution error is the tendency to attribute people's behaviour to their intrinsic nature rather than the circumstantial context that they're in. The phrase fundamental attribution error was coined by psychologist Lee Ross to describe the results of a study in which people were asked to read out a speech written by someone else on a controversial topic. Amazingly, they were then judged as actually holding those beliefs by other people who knew they were reading out the speech purely on the instructions of the experimenters. This is important, I think. And I think the biggest mistake we can make is to assume that we are not ourselves vulnerable to this kind of error of perception or thinking. If you've ever had the experience of being surprised by someone you thought you knew, you've made a fundamental attribution error. Or if you've ever said, "It's strange, I didn't like him or her at first, but now I do," you've made a fundamental attribution error. Mind you, we do see far more extreme forms of fundamental attribution error sometimes. In the UK, there's a popular radio series called The Archers, and it's the longest-running radio soap opera in the world. It's described as a contemporary drama set in a rural setting. Anyway, just recently there's been a domestic abuse storyline. Timothy Watson plays the character of Rob Titchener, an abusive narcissistic psychopath who bullies his wife. Now, everyone knows this is fiction, but Watson has complained that members of the public have scowled at him in the street and refused to speak to him. When actress Glenn Close played a homicidal scorned lover in the film Fatal Attraction, she said that some people responded to her in real life as though she were really the character. And actor Anthony Valentine, who played the sinister SS Major Mohn in the 1970s BBC series Colditz, complained that he was insulted and shunned by members of the public, who saw him not as the British actor he was, but as the sadistic Nazi he portrayed in the show. Okay, some people see these actors behaving a certain way in one context when they're acting, and make the fundamental attribution error that this behaviour is part of the fixed personality. Now, most of us don't go quite this far when making judgments about others. At least I hope not. We remember they were only acting. But seeing someone get really angry in one context can certainly make us assume that they're an angry person generally. Researchers found that good-looking people are more likely to be judged innocent in a court of law, and to be believed to be braver, more moral, more intelligent than plainer folk. This is called the halo effect. When movie stars or musicians are asked about complex political situations by journalists, it's because we're assuming that someone who's talented or competent in one area must also have more valuable opinions than most other people. So what's the flip side of the fundamental attribution error? Well, Lee Ross found that we tend to attribute our own behaviour more to external circumstances than to our personality characteristics, the opposite of what we tend to do for other people. So, you know, I responded angrily because the situation was just so unfair. But this person I've never seen before responded angrily because they're an aggressive, angry person. I was late because the alarm didn't go off, but you're late because you're careless and inconsiderate. My views are reasonable, but your views are prejudiced. The list goes on. As a therapist, I have to be really careful not to assume things about a client's intrinsic qualities when I first meet them. They may seem to have no sense of humour or perspective, and it would be easy for me to assume that this is what they're fundamentally like. But I have to make an effort to remember that this is only how they are at the moment, because of huge life stresses or whatever the case may be. I've been amazed sometimes how someone's entire nature seems to change as depression or post-traumatic stress or a difficult living situation is lifted from them. Actually, what I'm seeing is the real person, the person that was underneath the suffering from their particular life circumstances. I have to remember that when I first meet a person, they may be simply, as it were, reading out the script of the depression or abuse. It's not the real them, or at least not the whole them. Likewise, a salesman can seem really nice and attentive, but that might not be his real nature. That may be everything to do with the context. This person is being nice because they're out to get something from you. If an attractive woman working in a car showroom smiles at me, I don't assume she's become instantly attracted to me because of my stunning looks and godlike body. I simply assume she wants to sell me a car. If she smiles at me in the context of a bar or nightclub, maybe I'd be more inclined to believe she's interested in me. But even then, it may be that smiling at men she hasn't seen before is a fixed pattern of her personality. It may be that she's intrinsically a smiling, nice person, or it may be that the way she's acting right now has far more to do with the context of the situation than who she is as a person. So why do we make this cognitive error, and how can we avoid it to start seeing people more squarely? Well, it's a matter of perspective. We only have access to our own subjectivity, so the subjectivity of other people is a lot less compelling to us until we can really put ourselves in their shoes. Other people's contexts, their intentions and circumstances are not available to us the way that our own contexts are. So it's all too easy to take someone's current behaviours and use them to make sweeping judgments about them as a person. But we can make an effort to get a sense of their reality. To really get to know someone, we need to remember that fundamental attribution error is a thing, and that neither you nor me nor anyone else is immune to it. We need to stop assuming our immediate emotional response to someone, be it good or bad, is necessarily reflective of the real person, and be prepared to reserve judgment until such time as we see this person in different contexts and understand what might be going on for this person right now. So, just to recap, fundamental attribution error is the tendency to attribute the causes of other people's behaviour to their intrinsic nature rather than the circumstantial context they're in. This is such a powerful cognitive bias that people who know someone's reading a speech written by someone else will still attribute the beliefs reflected in the speech to the person reading it. Fundamental attribution error can work very subtly in everyday life. To limit its effect, we need to develop empathy and objectivity when judging others, or better still, lay off judging them altogether until more evidence emerges from seeing them in different contexts. And having the humility to know we're not immune from fundamental attribution error, being prepared to objectively view our own responses to someone, and remembering that a person's behaviour is no more than a snapshot within a particular context can help us limit this error. After all, the more we limit fundamental attribution error from dictating our beliefs, the more tolerant a world we can all live in. So I hope you found this interesting and useful, and to listen to more than 50 other audio insights, you can join the Hypnosis Downloads members section of the Growth Zone, where they're all archived. Members of the Growth Zone get access to all the downloads and scripts on the site, plus exclusive members-only downloads. I'm Roger Relly of Uncommon Knowledge, and thank you for listening.